Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine and KNSJ, and we're here today to talk about veteran services for our military vets living in rural East County. My guest today is Claudia Millerbragg. Claudia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. I'm honored to be here today, and I want to thank you for taking the time to honor the vets in rural East County.
Now, according to Supervisor Diane Jacob, we've heard her say that San Diego County has more military veterans than any county in America, and the highest number of those are in East County. So we were surprised to learn that, in fact, County Veterans Services sends advocates all over the county, South Bay, North County, but they don't get out into the rural areas of East County where so many veterans live. Now, Claudia, you wanted to be a volunteer to help bring some services out here. And what did you find out in terms of where the closest location is for our East County veterans?
I was going to volunteer with County Veterans Services as an advocate in our rural East County. And then for various reasons, I decided not to do so. But I checked into it. The closest advocate, accredited advocate from County Veterans Services would be in downtown La Mesa. Just from Campo, that is 44 miles each way.
So when a 90-mile round trip.
Just about, yes.
Close to that. Now, and they're not in La Mesa very often even. How often do they come out there?
They are in La Mesa every Friday.
Once a week on Fridays, okay. Where else in the county do they go?
They have advocates overland, which is Clermont Mesa, Chula Vista, Oceanside, San Marcos, Vista, La Jolla, La Mesa, Rancho Bernardo, Carlsbad, Encinitas, Escondido. And some of the distances, like between Encinitas and Carlsbad, it's 9.4 miles between the two.
So it's only 9 miles. So in other words, if they eliminated Encinitas, for instance, and freed up an advocate to come out to maybe Alpine or Campo or someplace, you think that would be a viable alternative?
I believe that it would be.
Now, it should be noted that we get a lot of bad weather in East County, too. It's not only the I-8 corridor out here, Campo, Boulevard, Jacumba, Pine Valley, Alpine, El Cajon doesn't even have an advocate. It's also the mountain areas such as Julian, Ramona, Cuyamaca, Mount Laguna. That is a heck of a long way to have to go, especially in winter weather. Now, some of these places are much farther away from La Mesa than the 90 miles that you would drive from Campo. It can be a couple of hour drive each way, depending on the weather, from some of these communities.
I guess they just do without if they don't want to brave snow and ice to come all the way down here.
So you've made some efforts to try to do something about this because you care about veterans. And tell us, by the way, what got you so interested in helping veterans in the first place?
My brother Ivan Jones was killed in Vietnam. He was a young Marine, and he was killed in Vietnam in 1969. And I was not satisfied with what they told me about his death. So in the past couple of years, I have been doing research more heavily. I have actually been trying for 44 years. I ran into so much indifference and people that just did not care.
Now, are you finding a similar attitude toward getting these medical services? What are some of the kinds of services that County Veteran Services provides when they send an advocate out?
Well, if a vet is having a problem with getting benefits, or if there are some type of medical issues, and
PTSD or things like that,
Agent Orange issues with that, although that's not really recognized by the government.
So our Wounded Warriors.
Our Wounded Warriors. Then the advocate, this is an accredited advocate. The accredited advocate would assist them in getting those benefits. And basically what I have found is a lot of indifference, that people say, well, this is not something that I deal with. They tell me that there's no funding, but there is funding for advocates along the coast.
Yeah, so if you're in a wealthy area like La Jolla, you can have services right there. And
yes.
If you're in the poor part of town out here, out in Boulevard, you're on your own. And there's no public transportation here, so it's not easy for vets from East County to get to these other places, unlike some of these other areas where you can hop on a train or a bus or a trolley and fairly easily get to someplace nearby.
That is correct. And I just don't think it's fair that we kind of wave the flag, we send these men and women off to conflict, and then they come back and they have medical issues or, you know, they're suffering with other things. And we kind of say, oh, well, there's no funding for that.
Now, did you contact Congressman Hunter or Congressman Vargas's office, since they represent East County?
I did not contact Duncan Hunter's office because of what I went through when I contacted Mr. Hunter's office about assisting me to get the information on my brother's death in Vietnam. So,
how about Congressman Vargas?
I did send him an email about a week ago. I have not gotten a response.
Now, I understand you tried state representatives, Brian Jones and...
Yes, and Mr. Jones...
Joel Anderson.
Yes, Mr. Jones basically told me, well, not him, but his staff member, that was not an issue that he would deal with, and that the staff member said... He covers a large area, and people that have voted for him, they have a lot of issues and a lot of concern.
So they referred you back to the county.
Yes.
Now, you also contacted Supervisor Diane Jacob, and initially, what were you told?
I was told by her staff member that this was not something that Ms. Jacobs would deal with, that this was a county veterans service issue.
So you contacted them, and they told you that, if you could find a from the letters you've sent me, they suggested that if you could find a location that was available, they could perhaps send an advocate out there. So did you find a location?
I found a location, and I had dealt with them because I was going to volunteer.
And this was the Campo Library that said they'd be happy to have some veteran services out there?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And with open arms, they're ready to do that.
But then when you went back to County Veterans Services and said, okay, I've got a location, what did they do?
They stated that there was not an advocate that they could send out there, that there was issues of funding.
Issues of funding. So at this point, you came to us, East County Magazine, and we got involved. We contacted Supervisor Jacob's office, and we got a different response. This time, we were told that the Veterans Services Office is hoping to add another location in East County. However, additional funding and volunteer staffing still need to be identified. I plan on working with Tom Splitgerber, Director of the Veterans Services Office, to explore the possibility of providing additional services in my district, including the more rural areas, Supervisor Jacob wrote in a letter that you've forwarded to us. So we are definitely going to be staying on top of this issue. I will add that yesterday I called the Alpine Veterans of Foreign Wars offices, and I spoke with a quartermaster out there who told me that he's often thought they need more veteran services out here. He would be delighted to see that happen, that they have some 400 members or so, and if you count auxiliary and some other things, that there's at least 800 veterans in need right there in Alpine. And of course, if we count all those mountain towns and high desert towns and rural towns all across the backcountry, it would easily be many thousands of veterans. So, Claudia, do you have any final words for us today?
Yes, I have one more thing that I would like to add. I know that some people have said, well, the VFW halls have service offices. In Campo, at this time, at the Campo VFW, at this time, there is not a service officer. The service officer for Campo is in La Mesa. There are no other VFW halls out there.
And even when there's VFW halls in some of these other outlying areas, they do not have county veteran services. We've checked on that.
They do not.
Now, I understand that you have launched a petition calling on the county to add veteran services in the rural parts of East County. We will have that on our website at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you also have it, I understand, on a Facebook page devoted to your brother. Tell us the name of that Facebook page.
It is Facebook page. It is Ivan Jones.
I-V-A-N, Ivan Jones.
Killed in Vietnam, 1969.
Ivan Jones, killed in Vietnam, 1969.
Yes.
And on our site, if you just go on and you put, you look on the search term there, or in our news section, we will have the petition there for you as well. And our site is www.eastcountymagazine.org. So, Claudia, I want to thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. And if there are any listeners out there who are veterans, who know veterans that are not getting services, we want to hear your stories. Please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. The City of Lemon Grove and Lemon Grove Historical Society are celebrating, and they invite the public to a grand opening party on the Main Street Promenade, Friday evening, September 27th from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. This hometown event celebrates the completion of the Pioneer Modernism Park at the Main Street Promenade and welcomes Lemon Grove's newest neighbors from Citronica One, the brand new colorful and modernistic residential and business structure recently completed near Highway 94 and the Lemon Grove Trolley Station. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the name chosen for the Pioneer Modernism Park, evoking Lemon Grove's history. Visitors can view the new wonderful installations at the park, such as the wind spire, tractor slide, mosaics, charming seats, and windmill. Visitors are encouraged to bring the children, friends, and colleagues to enjoy dancers, singers, jugglers, and magicians, to play in contests of hula hoop, jump rope, bubble blowing, and whistling, and to enjoy free cookies and lemonade and much more. It's time for Oktoberfest season in East County. Sponsored by the German-American Societies of El Cajon, the El Cajon Oktoberfest spans two weekends, beginning on Friday, September 27th, through Sunday, September 29th, and then the following weekend from October 4th through 6th. Included in the festivities for this family-friendly event are a band from Germany in traditional dress called Guggenbachbaum, authentic German food such as bratwurst, ox on the spit, potato salad, potato pancakes, sauerkraut, red cabbage, and a variety of German pastries and pretzels. Plus, there are games and activities for the whole family, with a kids' zone and vendors and crafts booth. El Cajon's Oktoberfest is located at the German-American Societies of San Diego Incorporated on Mollison Avenue in El Cajon. Is La Mesa ready for steampunk? On Friday, September 27th, costumed steampunk fans are expected to join the celebration of A Day in the Life, an original oil painting art show opening at O'Dunn Fine Art Gallery on La Mesa Boulevard. Steampunk is a science fiction genre that blends elements of technology with 19th century settings, often with alternative endings. Gallery owner Shannon O'Dunn says it promises to be a lot of fun, even if you are not into steampunk. The exhibit will feature a replica of the Time Machine, seen in the 1960 movie Time Machine and in The Big Bang Theory. One artist from Colorado, Steve Bonomo, has taken the characters from the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's album and reinterpreted them as steampunk characters. Artists will be on hand, and the event also offers live music, food, and beverages. The Alpine Stagecoach Lions present the Alpine Viejas Western Days Parade and Craft Fair on Sunday, September 29th. The parade will begin at Albertsons at 2 p.m. and continue down Alpine Boulevard to Alpine Creek Town Center, where the Craft Fair and Car Show will be held. Visit alpinedaysparade.com for more information. Acumba hikers and walkers are on the move again this Saturday, September 28th, to the Stair Climber. This 3-mile walk is rated moderate and is a great cardiovascular workout on a series of 3 hills along the border fence. It is also dog-friendly with dogs on a 6-foot leash. Meet at 8 a.m. at the Acumba Lounge on Old Highway 80 in Acumba Hot Springs. The La Mesa Historical Society will continue its free History Roundtable series for 2013 with a presentation on the architectural heritage of La Mesa, titled Emor Brooke Weaver, Pioneer Architect. The presentation features Alexander D. Beville, a historian with California State Parks, and it will be held on Saturday, September 28th at 10 a.m. at Grossmont Healthcare District Auditorium on Wakarusa Drive in La Mesa. Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District invites the public to an open house at the Julian Fire Station on Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 4. The station is located on Farmers Road, which becomes Main Street, just east of Julian's historic town district. Guests can enjoy games, firefighter competitions, food, music, demonstrations, as well as tours of the station, trucks, ambulance, and helicopter. Also in Julian are some recurring events. The first two are both at Jeremy's on the Hill restaurant in the Wainola area, just outside downtown Julian on Highway 78. Every Monday and Thursday, listen to live music at an open mic on the patio at Jeremy's on the Hill starting at 6 p.m. And every Friday and Saturday, enjoy live piano music with Steve Clark at Jeremy's on the Hill. Then at the Pine Hills Lodge in Julian, every Friday there is live entertainment in the pub from 8 p.m. to 12 midnight. Pine Hills Lodge is located on La Posada Way in Julian. Best Night of Free Comedy is this Thursday, September 26th, and starts at 8:30 p.m. This is a recurring event on the last Thursday night of every month at the Regal on La Mesa Boulevard in La Mesa. Their headliners have been on Comedy Central, The Improv, Gabriel Iglesias' Stand-Up Revolution, and have toured with other well-known comedians. A wine tasting to benefit the rebuilding efforts of the Sierra Club Cabin will be held on Sunday, September 29th at 4 p.m. at the Mosaic Wine Bar on 30th Street in the North Park area of San Diego. The Sierra Club invites the public to this benefit event for rebuilding the cabin, which was lost in the Chariot Fire in July of this year on Mount Laguna. Now a preview for an upcoming event. Saturday evening, October 5th, is the second annual Mission Trails Regional Park Foundation's Art in the Park. Featured art from a minimum of 45 award-winning artists will be on display and for sale, with over 100 pieces of nature-related art featuring a variety of painting styles, ceramics, photography, and sculptures. CBS 8 meteorologist and lifestyle reporter Sean Stiles and Mission Publishing Group publisher Jim Matifer return as honorary co-chairs for this event in the Visitor's Center from 6 to 9 p.m. Enjoy an evening of fine art, fine wine, fine cheese, and fine chocolate. Entertainment will be provided by members of the San Diego Native American Flute Circle, followed by the Caprice Strings Trio. The San Diego Astronomy Association will have telescopes on the terrace for viewing the stars. Tickets are required and can be ordered at www.mtrp.org. And this just in, another event upcoming for next weekend, October 4th, 5th, and 6th, is the Oktoberfest in La Mesa on La Mesa Boulevard. All of this information and more is in our festival and events section and on our comprehensive calendar online at www.eastcountymagazine.org. See you around, East County!
This is Iris Neal. Join us for Job Talks, bringing you news about great jobs and growing our regional economy.
Job Talks on KNSJ's East County Magazine show is supported by our listeners and by the San Diego Building Trades Nonprofit Family Housing Corporation. Building our future.
Minimum wage workers will soon be getting a raise. Governor Jerry Brown has signed Assembly Bill 10 into law, which will raise California's minimum wage from $8 an hour to $9 an hour starting July 1, 2014, and to $10 an hour starting January 1, 2016. The governor said the minimum wage has not kept pace with rising costs. He said, "This legislation is overdue and will help families that are struggling in this harsh economy." AB 10 was opposed by the California Chamber of Commerce, which argued that the bill would increase costs on employers of all sizes, regardless of other economic factors or costs that employers are struggling with to sustain their businesses. This could have a negative impact on hiring, the chamber said. But Speaker John Perez contends raising wages will boost the bottom line for some businesses, since a $10 an hour minimum wage increases earnings by $4,000 a year and puts $2.6 billion back into the hands of workers. He said, "This is money that will be spent at grocery stores, on school supplies, and invested in education, and that ultimately strengthens the recovery." More than 90% of minimum wage workers in California are over the age of 20, and 25% of California's children, nearly 2.4 million of them, live in a household with one minimum wage earning parent.
This is Ed Barrena reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ. The San Diego County Water Authority is warning residents to watch out for scam artists posing as fake water agency employees. Recently, imposters have been calling local residents and offering to test their water for pollution or contamination, but they're likely seeking opportunities for theft or fraud. The Water Authority and its member agencies are not responsible for fixing problems or testing inside private residences and rarely have reason to ask for entry. If a water agency were to need in-home contact, someone would call first to make an appointment. If anyone claiming to be a water utility employee comes to your home without an appointment, do not let them in and immediately contact your local water agency to verify their legitimacy. Actual water agency employees will have proper identification and will provide a supervisor's phone number at the agency for verification. They typically drive clearly marked agency vehicles with government license plates. Homeowners should check any phone number provided for verification with the number for their water agency on their water bill or in the phone book to make sure that it is legitimate. Any supposed water agency employee who refuses to wait while you are contacting the agency should be considered a fraud and reported to police. Utility scams can take many forms, including requests for bill payment with a credit card, demands that residents buy certain water treatment products such as filters or water softeners, and sales pitches for waterline insurance. In some cases, imposters go door to door. In others, they work by phone. Imposters may work in pairs with one person talking to the resident while the other cases the home for valuables. Don't be fooled by scamsters who demand that you pay a water bill with a credit card or face shutoff, and never give out your social security number or any other ID. If you're not sure which water agency serves your property, you can go to the San Diego County Water Authority website at sdcwa.org.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. Hi, this is Connie again, and I'm talking to you about what you should be thinking about planting now. And in another couple of weeks, you better not be thinking about it. You better be doing it. So what do we start with in the fall? You think green. Think of all those greens that you love to eat, because this is the time to get them in the ground. Asian greens, mustard greens, spinach, and my favorite, beet greens. Except you get a double payoff with beets. In fact, you get about a 5 or 6 payoff with beets, because every little beet seed that you are planting actually is an old dried up flower, and it contains 5 or 6 seeds in it. So when those beets come up, you've probably wondered in the past, why, if I only planted one beet there, do I have 5 little plants there? What you can do is wait until they get to be about 2 inches tall, and then, using your very most delicate touch, wet the soil and carefully, using your fingers on the leaves, pull out those extras. Leave the biggest one in place, pull the others, and immediately replant them 3 or 4 inches away from the mother plant, or start another row, but get them a ways away from each other so that they will each have room to grow. As they grow, you can enjoy pulling off an occasional big leaf and stir-frying it or cooking it up, braising it in a pan. They're my favorite greens, like I said. Eventually, much later, you will end up with full-grown beet roots that you can pull out and cook. So now's the time to start your beets. What else can you start now? Broccoli, everything in the cabbage family, kale plants.
pull the old ones from last year that are dried up over the summer, get some new kale going. You can start cilantro now, and you will have to replant it again in about 2 months because cilantro doesn't last forever. It goes to flower too soon. But at this time of year, with the cooler days and nights, it takes longer for it to bolt into flower. So cilantro is a great thing to grow right now. Right now, I just started my peas. I use Chinese edible pod peas, but any kind of peas can be started now. What you want to do is soak those seeds overnight or even for 48 hours and then plant them. Poke them into wet soil, get them down about an inch or so, inch and a half, cover them well. And I want to mention, when all these seeds that you plant, the smaller the seed, the closer to the surface you plant it. And always press down hard. Annie's Annuals up in Richmond is run by a delightful woman who talks about how she started her first batch of annual plants. She planted them outdoors in flats. The seed flats were right there. She was so upset because her cat ran across the seed flats when she was through planting them. What happened was those were the only seeds that came up. So that was a lesson to her. And it's a lesson to all of us. Press down on the soil after your seeds are in the ground so you have good contact as well as the moisture, so things will start early. You can grow radishes year-round. You can start scallions and green onions right now. Swiss chard, I would suggest that you get that in the ground right away, hopefully by the 1st of October, because Swiss chard likes the warm soil to start. In fact, all of these seeds like the warm soil to start, and then they appreciate the cooler days as they grow and get larger.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they seem very...
The spending bill passed by the House of Representatives contains language that would ban federal courts from stopping the sale of genetically modified seeds, preventing lawsuits against Monsanto and other large biotech corporations, even if their products are found to cause harmful health effects. Fears have also been raised that the measure harms small farmers who could have no recourse if GMO crops contaminate organic fields. The measure was first slipped into a short-term funding bill back in March that was signed by President Obama. However, that's set to expire. But now advocates of big biotech companies, such as Monsanto and Cargill, have added it into the spending bill passed by the House days ago, the same bill that contains language to defund health care reforms. Republicans have threatened to shut down the government if the bill is not signed. The law has been dubbed the Monsanto Protection Act by consumer groups. A petition has been launched asking the Senate to eliminate this special interest language protecting the biotech industry at what they say is the expense of consumers and small farmers. And you can find a link to that petition on our site at eastcountymagazine.org. The Center for Food Safety's director, Colin O'Neill, has called the measure a slap in the face to the American public and our justice system. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
The Sierra Club's San Diego chapter seeks public help to reopen its historic Foster Lodge on Mount Laguna and to rebuild a cabin lost in the Chariot Fire. While there was some insurance coverage, the chapter needs to raise funds to offset a $10,000 deductible and other costs not covered to get the lodge reopened. A wine tasting to benefit these rebuilding efforts will be held on Sunday, September 29th at 4 o'clock at the Mosaic Wine Bar, 3422 30th Street in the North Park area of San Diego. You must be 21 or over for this event. For reservations and tickets, contact richard.miller at sierraclub.org or call area code 858-569-6005. The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is Ed Barrena reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ. The San Diego County Water Authority is warning residents to watch out for scam artists posing as fake water agency employees. Recently, imposters have been calling local residents and offering to test their water for pollution or contamination, but they're likely seeking opportunities for theft or fraud. The Water Authority and its member agencies are not responsible for fixing problems or testing inside private residences and rarely have reason to ask for entry. If a water agency were to need in-home contact, someone would call first to make an appointment. If anyone claiming to be a water utility employee comes to your home without an appointment, do not let them in and immediately contact your local water agency to verify their legitimacy. Actual water agency employees will have proper identification and will provide a supervisor's phone number at the agency for verification. They typically drive clearly marked agency vehicles with government license plates. Homeowners should check any phone number provided for verification with the number for their water agency on their water bill or in the phone book to make sure that it is legitimate. Any supposed water agency employee who refuses to wait while you are contacting the agency should be considered a fraud and reported to police. Utility scams can take many forms, including requests for bill payment with a credit card, demands that residents buy certain water treatment products such as filters or water softeners, and sales pitches for waterline insurance. In some cases, imposters go door to door. In others, they work by phone. Imposters may work in pairs with one person talking to the resident while the other cases the home for valuables. Don't be fooled by scamsters who demand that you pay a water bill with a credit card or face shutoff, and never give out your social security number or any other ID. If you're not sure which water agency serves your property, you can go to the San Diego County Water Authority website at sdcwa.org.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society, bringing you the sounds of history. Today, we are resuming our conversation with Richard Penick, the former president and CEO, founding member, and now the media coordinator of the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum Association. Dick Penick, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, good morning, Helen. I'm glad to be here again with you. It's certainly my pleasure.
Last time, we learned about the size and operations of the Railway Museum. Our listeners can actually Google Pacific Southwest Railway, some variation of those words, and find you. But what's the main phone number?
The main phone number is area code 619-465-PSRM. That's 7776 on the dial.
I'm going to repeat that. It's 619-465-7776. Gosh, that's patriotic.
It is.
Sounds like the American Revolution. And it sounds like it was all the way out in Campo. You really have written the book on how to restore old trains and make them accessible to the public. Now, perhaps your most famous operation is that living history component, those weekend train rides at Campo. You are there as a conductor and locomotive engineer in full regalia, I might add. How much is a ticket, and do you still travel from Campo to Tecate?
We have weekend-only trains. We recommend that people check our website, psrm.org, to make sure of the schedule before they make the drive out there. It is a long way from San Diego, but certainly we feel it's worth the ride. We do not currently go to Tecate, and the reason is there is a railroad tunnel just over the international border on the Mexican side that burned and collapsed Christmas Day 2009. And since that time, the tunnel has not been repaired, and our monthly trips to Tecate had to be temporarily curtailed. So currently, we confine all of our operations and our special activities to the U.S. side of the border, between the border and Campo.
Why is the Campo train ride sometimes called the Polar Express?
Well, like all nonprofits, we do need to protect our bottom line, and we have many public activities, special activities during the year. The biggest one being our Santa train in the Christmas season. The first train runs the day after Thanksgiving, and we run 12 to 15 of those on consecutive weekends through the Christmas season. It is extremely popular, sold out every year, and as a matter of fact, Helen, members can buy their tickets for it right now.
Wonderful. Parents out there, get ready. Richard, at the dawn of the railroad, nobody had a union. There were no OSHA rules, occupational safety and health. So what were some of the dangers to, say, a brakeman on the railroad or another worker?
Interesting you ask about the brakeman, because on the railroad, particularly in the early days, that was one of the most dangerous occupations in train service. Now, even then, as now, you could get a job on the railroad in the office and never have to worry about ice and snow and sleet and storm. But the brakeman's job, before the days of air brakes, required that the brakeman, and they were all men in those days, had to ride the tops of the freight cars on a freight train in all weather, and they lost many of them in service, so there was generally always a job available, a job opening for brakemen, because the turnover was pretty high. It was a very hazardous occupation. Now, the passenger brakeman had it a little easier. He rode inside the passenger coaches normally with a conductor, so that wasn't quite so bad. But the freight brakeman on the freight trains, pretty horrible job.
Now, when people were riding the rails, which is the subject of poetry and song and folk music and all of the lore of the 1930s, really, what was that like for somebody to ride the rails? Where are you?
You mean like a hobo?
Yes.
Well,
In a word.
There were two different types of illegal rail riders, hobos and bums. Bums in those days had the same connotation it has today. Hobos sometimes were of a different cut. Sometimes they were riding the train illegally, but sort of looked the other way officially, because they were searching for work. They were moving from one workplace, one seasonal workplace possibly, to another, and many of the railroads often cut them a little slack and would not necessarily kick them off. They were all lumped under the term hobo, but there were differences. The bums often spent their evenings in jail when they were caught, whereas the hobos were, if you can say, maybe a somewhat higher echelon of itinerant society, shall we say.
Dick, the classic movie image is of a group of hobos. These are lonely guys in felt hats who go and offer to chop wood for a sandwich. They're all together in an empty freight car. They jump off at different points. Are we saying the wino, some poor tragic guy, is literally under that freight car? If we're riding the rails, we're so close to the rails, we're almost on them. Is that what that phrase means? It's a scary thing.
Well, not necessarily, but certainly there have been a lot of fatalities by bums, winos, others that aren't supposed to be on the property, going to sleep in a drunken stupor on a railroad track, which can be a very fatal exercise. And it happens often on the Mexican side of the border, particularly at night. It even happens on the U.S. side. It's an unfortunate part of railroad operation. There are people that don't watch the crossing signs when they're crossing railroad tracks in their car or on foot. And in spite of all the warning signs and all of the measures the railroads try to take to promote safety, there
are still tragedies even now.
Still tragedies.
Exactly. Richard, you have been intimately involved with railroads for all of your life, long ago and far away, as a carefree, wind-in-your-hair young man. Didn't you ride the rails? Have you had personal experience?
I did, and I do. Even in my senior years, I continue to have experiences that I cherish very highly. I will tell you that I have never had professional railroad experience. I get asked that question a lot. But I did try to get a job with the railroad in Oakland, California, back in the mid-1950s, right after I got out of high school, because I wanted to become a fireman on a steam locomotive. And unfortunately, the railroad was getting rid of its steam locomotives at the time, and they wrote me back a Dear John letter saying, well, we're sorry, but we've laid off most of our firemen because we don't have a need for them anymore. And I always look back on those days and wonder if should I have continued with trying to get a railroad career.
Were you hand-firing a coal-burning?
No, that was on an oil-burning locomotive. It would have been had I got the job. But I had that opportunity many years later when we founded the museum. But you asked about some other adventures that I have had over the years, and those have been many, particularly with regard to trains. And I had one, and I have to tell you up front, Helen, that this was strictly illegal. Do not encourage anybody to do this. It is strictly forbidden and against the law. But I was a young, headstrong, adventurous kid in those days, and I and others decided to hop a freight train on the railroad that we currently operate on, and we were going to take this ride through Carrizo Gorge and just have a ball. So we encamped ourselves on a flat car in a freight train, and we were coming back from El Centro in late afternoon, and there are 17 tunnels just in the 11 miles of the Carrizo Gorge section, and the first tunnel is protected by an overhead structure called a telltale. Basically, it's just a wooden framework with ropes with knots on the end of them hanging down about 3 feet below the top of this gantry. And it's designed to warn a trainman on top of a car that there's a tunnel or limited head clearance coming up. So should they be facing the wrong way, it warns them that you better duck because there's something coming up that might take the upper part of your torso off. So I was facing the wrong way when we were coming up to the first tunnel and enjoying the view and the fresh air in my hair, and all of a sudden this telltale hit me in the back, and I immediately flattened on top of the car, and had I not done so, the tunnel was coming up in about an eighth of a mile, and I would have been a dead person. So it was
Richard,
a very hazardous.
Thank you for sharing that. And dear listeners, this does fall under the heading of don't try this at home, unless you are the body double for Sean Connery. I think we've all seen somebody or Steve McQueen fall to the roof and suddenly there's a tunnel and the audience is aghast. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Helen.
Dick Penick, this has been a wonderful conversation. I want to thank you for stopping by and sharing the lore, some of the lore. There's obviously much more from the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum. We didn't even get into the archives, and I know you have a big, big archive of precious material. Thank you, listeners, for tuning into the Sounds of History. I'm Helen O'Field.
This is Miriam Raftery with a health update from the County of San Diego. The county is asking campers and hikers to take steps to protect themselves after three ground squirrels near Palomar Mountains tested positive for plague. County Vector Control Program officials say it's not unusual to find plague in San Diego County. It's a bacterial disease of rodents, but it can be transmitted to people if they come in contact with infected animals or their fleas. People who contract the disease can become very sick or even die unless they're treated quickly with antibiotics. The county's vector control program routinely monitors flea populations at campgrounds and takes measures to reduce the fleas when disease is found. These three squirrels that tested positive were trapped in routine traps last week in the Cedar Grove campground near Palomar Mountain. People who visit or stay in rural mountain areas should look for plague warning signs and follow these precautions to be sure you don't come in contact with plague-carrying fleas. Avoid contact with ground squirrels, chipmunks, and other wild animals. Do not feed, touch, or handle wild animals. Don't rest, camp, or sleep near animal burrows in the ground. Never touch sick or dead animals. Protect your pets by keeping them on a leash. Use flea control, or leave your pets at home. Report dead squirrels to rangers. Contact your doctor immediately if you become sick within a week of visiting an area known to have plague. Symptoms include a sudden onset of fever, chills, and tender swollen lymph nodes. For more information about plague surveillance, call the Vector Control Program at area code 858-694-2888 or visit www.sdvector.com. That's sdvector.com.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. Hi, I'd like to invite you all to the California Native Plant Society Plant Sale. We're going to be holding it this year on October 12th. That's a Saturday. It will be in the Balboa Park, Casa de Prado, and it's in the patio there. You won't be able to miss it. It's straight across the street from the west side of the Natural History Museum. We open to the general public at 11 o'clock in the morning. While you're standing in line waiting to get in and watching other people buy, you may be curious to know why they got in first. It's because they're members of California Native Plant Society. But don't worry about it. We'll have people walking up and down that line asking you if you'd like to join and come into the sale. The sale is absolutely fantastic. We look forward to it all year long because we bring in plants from the most popular local native plant nurseries and save you a lot of driving to do that. It's October 12th this year from 11 in the morning and runs until 3 o'clock. It is for a wonderful cause. California Native Plant Society is a nonprofit organization which is dedicated to the concept of growing our own native plants here, which are what the lizards and the birds and the insects want to find because they all co-evolve together. The benefit to you of coming to the sale is not only that you will be supporting California Native Plant Society, but you can bring your sketches. You can bring questions about native plants, and you'll be able to have expert advice from various people on the sales floor, and we will have plant gurus sitting around at tables throughout the whole sale who you can sit down with them, and they will answer your questions. So I hope to see you on October 12th.
This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. The San Diego Sheriff's Office has announced that it has solved a cold case murder in East County that occurred back in 2005. One of the suspects is also being charged in two South Bay Area killings. Three men have been arrested as suspects in the murder of 20-year-old Daniel Rodriguez. On October 13, 2005, Rodriguez was found under a bridge at Interstate 8 and Tavern Road in Alpine. He had been shot in the head and died 3 days later. On September 19th, a coalition of law enforcement agencies, including the Sheriff's Homicide Detail, Cold Case Unit, the East County Gang Task Force, Chula Vista and National City Police, and the FBI, arrested three suspects for the murder of Rodriguez. The suspects, Jose Valdez, John Reyna, and Rashad Lansing, were each booked for murder and conspiracy. Jose Valdez is also accused of shooting and killing Joseph Medina in Chula Vista back in 2002. In addition, he's charged in the shooting and killing of Francisco Chairs in National City in 2003. An officer patrolling the area back then heard gunshots and found Chairs in the driver's seat of his vehicle, which had struck a gas pump. Chairs remained in the hospital for several days and later died as a result of a gunshot wound to his head. Anyone with information about these crimes is asked to call the Sheriff Homicide Detail at 858-974-2321 or after hours at 858-565-5200. You can also call Crime Stoppers and remain anonymous at 888-580-8477. time for the East County Magazine Trivia Quiz. We're back for some more fun time, and we're giving another chance this week to Tom and Gloria. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
Thank you for the second chance.
Okay. Your first question is, what takes in 1,600 gallons of water every second?
A whale.
A whale? We don't have whales in East County.
A well?
A well. That's a good guess. We have lots of those in East County, but that's wrong. Let me give you some guesses, some choices. The newly raised San Vicente Reservoir in Lakeside, a camel at the Oasis Camel Dairy, an SDG&E truck pumping water to construct Eco Substation, or a super scooper fighting
super
fires.
Super scooper.
That's right, a super scooper, and thank goodness we have them back again this year.
What's a super scooper?
it's for dogs.
The planes that pick up water in the lakes to put the wildfires out.
All right.
A local wildlife group has brought back a species from near extinction that was down to just 7 unrelated animals left on Earth. What animal is it?
Fairy shrimp.
Not fairy shrimp, but they are endangered.
Platypus.
We don't have those in East County.
I'll meet you in the
Maybe
green
Australia.
Room, Tom.
No.
Flat-bellied lizard.
You guys clearly need some choices. Is it Peninsula Bighorn sheep, Mexican gray wolves, Kino checker spot butterflies, or fairy shrimp, which we already know is wrong?
I think the paisley butterflies.
The butterflies. They are endangered, but nope, not that endangered.
Bighorn sheep?
Bighorn sheep? Nope. Well, by process of elimination,
sheep.
It is Mexican. It is Mexican gray wolves.
Oh.
It's actually the California Wolf Preserve in Julian has successfully been breeding them and reintroducing them to the wild. Next question. Who is Windwalker?
Could you spell that, please,
for the spelling contestant?
Windwalker. Windwalker.
Oh, like I was thinking of Wingwalker.
Wingwalker.
Yeah, so I was thinking Windwalker the Wingwalker.
Not a Wingwalker at Gillespie Field, Gillespie Air Show. That was one of my guesses. But let's give you some other choices. Is it a worker doing blade repairs at the Ocotillo Wind Facility? A winner of the Native American Music Awards? Or...
I say it's a hang one more choice.
Or a hang gliding
desert.
Or a hang gliding instructor in Blossom Valley.
You cut in her airtime, so technically I win it by default. So I'm gonna say C, a winner of the Native American Music Awards.
That is correct. Highway 94 was recently blocked for over 50 hours. What caused the blockage?
A stampeding herd of buffalo.
High cholesterol.
No. Some choices. Was it a landslide, a wildfire, a Border Patrol vehicle crash, or a breakdown of a big truck hauling an oversized load to Mexico?
C.
It was the truck going to
Mexico. Actually, it was an oversized load that was... well over 200 feet long on a road that's only supposed to have a 75-foot-long load, and we're still trying to find out who authorized that one.
I'm just trying to get more airtime, okay? If I gave the wrong answer, and I was just trying to get more airtime.
Okay, a couple more questions. What did county supervisors recently vote to keep open despite budget cuts?
I thought it was Santee Lakes.
No.
I thought it was parks.
No, not parks. Was it libraries, recreation centers, the campground at Mission Trails, or inmate fire camps?
Rec centers.
I hope it's the campgrounds.
No, the campground is closed, unfortunately.
But they did keep open the inmate fire camps,
which is D.
Inmates.
No, protecting us from wildfires was up there. So, okay. Name something that the new immigration bill in Congress includes funding for.
More guards at the border.
Yes, that's one of them.
Horse patrols along the border.
That's another one. And another one is?
Drones.
Drones. Surveillance.
You have your own
border.
Personal drone, don't
that's
you?
Just about.
I do.
You
do. I do. It follows me everywhere I go.
It does.
There we go.
Forget conspiracy theories.
Okay, two more questions. A local expert in East County has been prosecuted by the federal government and ordered to hand over years of missing data. What is in that missing data?
Eagles.
Eagles is right.
Thanks for cutting me out of that one.
Electronic tracking data for birds of prey that are missing. This data was used to approve those wind farms out there.
But he had no licenses and several freezers full of frozen migratory birds that weren't supposed to be there.
Well, no wonder there were no eagles.
Yeah, exactly. Now we know where they went.
Dang, huh? That's right.
Okay, last question, guys. This year's Aztecs home opener game will feature the largest one of these in San Diego County. What
Aztecs.
Is it? Aztecs. An Aztec. No, it's not the quarterback. What else?
Anyway. Giant snowball.
Snowball. That wouldn't last very long in our
fireworks.
Warm weather.
Fireworks.
Fireworks is the correct answer. I was going to have you guess flags and beach balls, but the right answer is fireworks at the KGB Sky Show coming up in September. And thank you for joining us for another edition of the East County Magazine Trivia Quiz. It's back to school time, and the San Diego County Animal Services is urging students to hit the books and relax with a study buddy kitty at your side. County Animal Services' three animal shelters are overstocked on cats, so for a limited time only, adoption fees for cats that are 6 months and older are just $5 through the month of September. Yes, you can adopt a cat for just $5. County Animal Services Director Don Danielson says, "Our three county shelters are packed with gorgeous cats right now, and we figure since school is back in session, now is a great time to adopt the perfect study buddy. One of the 10 best habits to be successful in school is to have a study buddy. Our cats will let you study in peace and quiet, review your work, and offer helpful critiques without a word of criticism," she claims. While cat adoptions are just $5, kitten adoptions are $58, but there's a special for that, too. Under the Better with a Buddy program, you can adopt one cat or kitten, and any second feline adoption is free. All animals are neutered or spayed, microchipped, and vaccinated before going home with new families. For more information on adoptions at any of the three county animal shelters, call 619-767-2675. Or to see photos of the animals up for adoption, visit Animal Services website at www.sddac.com. That stands for San Diego Department of Animal Control.com. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's live radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.